Shri Guru, Shri Yuta, Padakamalam. Shri Guru, Vaishnavanscha, Shri Rupa, Sagrajata, Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam. Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine.
Everybody,
Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadeshatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Guru Deva, Jaya Guru Deva, Guru Deva, Jaya Guru Deva. Jayam Vishnupad Paramhansa Pariprajaka Acharya Astotra Satasri Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Kitai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai. Jayam Vishnupad Paramhansa Pariprajaka Acharya Astotra Satasri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Kijai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adigor Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath. Shamakund Radha Kund Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Navadweep Dham Ki Jai, Jamuna Mai Ki Jai, Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Samveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. We welcome you to our celebration of Sri Krishna Janmashtami. Krishna Janmashtami is very deep. Because Krishna is so deep. In his introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada explains that the concept of the absolute truth is higher than the concept of God. God means the controller, Ishvara. Ishvara Parama Krishna. Krishna is the supreme controller. But the concept of the absolute truth is even superior. The absolute truth is that from which, or he from whom, every one and everything emanates. So, as I was chanting the prayers and looking at the deities and pictures and thinking of all the personalities to whom I felt grateful for their contributions to devotional service. But I thought actually every one of them is coming from Krishna. Krishna is the origin. So ultimately we should feel grateful to Krishna for everything. I personally feel very grateful to our founder Acharya, my personal teacher, Srila Prabhupada, because from him I learned about Krishna. Actually, from him I learned what it meant to be a human being. And it is said that Srila Prabhupada was due to take birth on the Janmashtami day, but that he didn't want to divert people's attention from Krishna to himself, and so he waited a day and came out the next day, the day after Janmashtami. And that was something that struck everyone who met Srila Prabhupada, that he didn't want attention for himself. He wanted attention for Krishna. When Srila Prabhupada and some of his disciples from Europe and America, he returned to India with them, we had a big pandal at Cross Maidan in downtown Bombay. And many people, it was sort of the custom among taxi drivers and others to have pictures of little deities on their dashboards. So people were asking, they wanted one of Srila Prabhupada for their dashboards. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, they should have Krishna, not me. And a little later at the Ardha Kumbh Mela in Allahabad, there was someone who was known as Jagat Guru. He was not Jagat Guru. He probably never stepped foot out of India. But they called him Jagat Guru. and they were carrying him on a big palanquin, maybe even on an elephant. So some disciples said to Srila Prabhupada, you know, you're the real Jagat Guru. You should be the one riding up there on the elephant. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, Krishna should be riding on the elephant. I will be walking on the ground. So many people noted that George Harrison was struck by that quality of Srila Prabhupada's. So I thought to read a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, which is relevant to both Krishna and Srila Prabhupada. And that is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 2, Prayers by the Demigods, Text 31. Now please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Please repeat. Swayam Samutirya Sudustaram Dhyuman Bhava Arnavam Bhimam Adabra Sorida Bhavat Pada Amboruha Navam Atra Te Nidaya Yata Sat Anugraha Bhavan Swayam Samutirya Sudustaram Dhyuman Bhavarnavam Bhimam Adabra Sorida Bhavat Padam Boruhanavam Atrate Nidaya yata sadanugraho bhavan. Swayam samutirya sudustaram dhyumam. Bhavarnavam bhimam adabra sorida. Bhavat padam boruhanavam atrate Nidaya yata sadanugraho bhavan. Samutirya sudustaram dhyuman
Bhavarnavam bhimam adabra sohridaha
Bhavarnavam bhimam adabra sohridaha
Bhavat padam boruha navam atrate
Bhavat padam boruha navam atrate
Nidhaya yatak sad anugraho bhavan
Nidhaya yatak sad anugraho bhavan.
Vayam samuttiya sudashtaram divyan.
Svayam samuttiya sudashtaram divyan.
Bhavarnavam bhima madha prasodraha.
Bhavarnavam bhima madha prasodraha.
Bhavat padam bhuruhanavam atate.
Bhavat padam bhuruhanavam atate.
Nidhyaya yata sadanugraha bhavan.
Nidhyaya yata sadanugraha bhavan. Swayam. Personally. Samutirya. Perfectly crossing. Sudustaram, which is very difficult to cross. Dhyuman, O Lord, who appear exactly like the sun,
illuminating the darkness
of this world of ignorance. Bhava Arnavam, the ocean of nescience. Bhimam,
which is extremely fierce.
Adabrasorada,
devotees
who are incessantly friendly to the fallen souls.
Bhavat pada amboruha,
your lotus feet.
Navam,
the boat for crossing.
Atra,
in this world.
Te,
they,
the Vaishnavas.
Nidaya,
leaving behind.
Yata,
on to the ultimate destination.
Vaikuntha.
Sat Anugraha,
who are always kind and merciful
to the devotees.
Bhavan,
you.
Translation. O Lord, who resemble the shining sun, you are always ready to fulfill the desire of your devotee, and therefore you are known as a desire tree, Vanchakalpatru. When the acharyas completely take shelter under your lotus feet, in order to cross the fierce ocean of nescience, they leave behind on earth the method by which they cross. And because you are very merciful to your other devotees, you accept this method to help them. Please repeat. O Lord,
who resemble the shining sun,
you are always ready to fulfill
the desire of your devotee,
and therefore you are known as a desire tree, Vanchakalpatru. When acharyas completely take shelter
under your lotus feet,
in order to cross
the fierce ocean of nescience,
they leave behind on earth
the method by which they cross. And because you are very merciful to your other devotees, you accept this method to help them. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. This statement reveals how the merciful acharyas and the merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead together help the serious devotee who wants to return home back to Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his teachings to Rupa Goswami, said, Ramanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavana Jiva Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bija. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, Chapter 19, Text 151. One can achieve the seed of Bhakti Lata, devotional service, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. The duty of the Guru is to find the means according to the time, the circumstances, and the candidate by which one can be induced to render devotional service, which Krishna accepts from a candidate who wants to be successful in going back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Hi, welcome. So I'll read this sentence again because it's long and deep. And I will relate it to our Srila Prabhupada and Lord Krishna. The duty of the Guru is to find the means according to the time, the circumstances, and the candidate by which one can be induced to render devotional service. So people are not generally that willing to engage in devotional service. So the acharya, and we're citing Srila Prabhupada as an example, finds the ways and means to induce the candidates to render devotional service. Srila Prabhupada has explained that in the beginning, considering who we were, fallen Westerners, he did not immediately introduce the regulative principles, but he engaged us in devotional service. And by our being engaged in devotional service, we became purified and qualified for the complete regular practice of bhakti yoga. So the duty of the Guru is to find the means according to the time, the circumstances, and the candidate by which one can be induced to render devotional service, which Krishna accepts from a candidate who wants to be successful in going back home, back to Godhead. So this is a very important point about Krishna, and the Acharya, that Krishna will accept the method given by the Acharya, or the service rendered by the disciples of the Acharya, because of his favorable nature to the Acharya. When I first joined, I heard that Srila Prabhupada gave the example of a representative of a company who enters into an agreement, a deal, that even if the company or the proprietor of the concern does not really like the agreement, but the company will honor the agreement because their representative entered it on their behalf. So Srila Prabhupada said that if the spiritual master accepts someone, even if Krishna wouldn't have wanted to accept that person, Krishna will accept the person because his representative entered into that agreement. When I heard this, I was struck, because in a sort of naive way, I thought that there could not be any difference between what Krishna wanted and what Prabhupada wanted. But actually there is spiritual individuality at every stage. In Srila Prabhupada's final pastimes with us, the disciples were asking him to stay. That was also a very deep sequence of or series of exchanges. And they asked him that that you said that your Guru Maharaj left earlier than he had to because he was disgusted with his disciples, or some of his disciples. So they asked Srila Prabhupada, is that the case with you and us? And Srila Prabhupada said, no. If Krishna allows, I will be very happy to remain in your association. So for some days or weeks, it was going on like that, whatever Krishna desires. That was the mood that Srila Prabhupada was exhibiting. As far as his staying or going, whatever Krishna desires. But then at one stage, Srila Prabhupada surprised us. He asked, how we felt about his staying or going, and we voiced the same mood that we had been getting from him, whatever Krishna desires. So Srila Prabhupada surprised us by saying that Krishna has given him the choice. So although Srila Prabhupada was a soul fully surrendered to Krishna, there was interaction between the two of them as individuals. So he said, so what do you want? He said to us, what do you want? Not just whatever Krishna wants. What do you want? Do you want me to stay or not? And then he said, of course, my staying means that I will have to suffer so many inconveniences because of my bodily condition. It wasn't such a simple thing. So Prabhupada said, you all go out and discuss and tell me what you decide. So we all went out into the ante room, like the foyer, the outer room of Prabhupada's quarters in Vrindavan. And at that time, Kirtanananda Swami was very articulate. And he said, if Krishna is giving Srila Prabhupada the choice, and if Srila Prabhupada has told us to deliberate, that means he's giving us the choice. So there was a discussion, and everyone agreed that they wanted Srila Prabhupada to stay. And one devotee remarked, well, not all the GBCs are here right now in the room. And Brahmananda Prabhu, who I adore, who was like so attached to Srila Prabhupada, so Brahmananda Prabhu in his great magnanimous, jovial way said, come on! What GBC is going to say they don't want Prabhupada to say, stay? So it was agreed, and so we went back in the room. Kirtanananda Swami was designated to be the spokesperson, and when he got in Srila Prabhupada's presence, he broke down in tears, crying. He couldn't speak. And Brahmananda Prabhu was sitting behind him, like rubbing his back. And then he said, well, Srila Prabhupada, if you are giving us the choice, then we want you to stay. We want you to complete translating Srimad Bhagavatam, and we want you to lead this movement going into the future, which were some of the points that were made in the discussion outside. And Srila Prabhupada replied, so you have all discussed, and this is what you have concluded? And Kirtanananda Swami said yes. Then Srila Prabhupada sort of like yawned. All right. And in Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, Satsvarupa Maharaj writes, it was like probably the most nonchalant decision about life and death ever made. So, and then Srila Prabhupada said, this is love, this is love, that we wanted him to stay. Like sometimes Srila Prabhupada would say, people want the kingdom of God without God, They want the kingdom of God, but they want to enjoy it without God. So it could happen that, one would want to enjoy the property of the spiritual master without the spiritual master, but Srila Prabhupada... So when the devotee said, no, we want you to stay, Srila Prabhupada said, this is real love. So I'm coming back now to the point of the like personal reciprocation between Krishna and the spiritual master as individuals. That, you know, Prabhupada said, Krishna has given me the choice. So the same thing with the representative of the company accepting, entering into an agreement that the company doesn't really like, but they accept it because their representative made the agreement. So now this is very significant because in some ways you could think or say that the process that Srila Prabhupada gave us was less rigorous or demanding than the process of devotional service given by previous acharyas. That is a point that could be discussed separately. But the immediate point here is that if Prabhupada made that deal with us, that you do such and such, and such and such, and you'll go back home, back to God, and then Krishna will honor that commitment and make it happen. Read further. Since I unpacked it a little, I'll reread the last sentence. The duty of the guru is to find the means according to the time, the circumstances, and the candidate by which one can be induced to render devotional service, which Krishna accepts from a candidate who wants to be successful in going back home, back to Godhead. After wandering throughout the universe, a fortunate person within this material world seeks shelter of such a guru or acharya who trains the devotee in the suitable ways to render service according to the circumstances so that the Supreme Personality of Godhead will accept the service. There's a reciprocation. And Prabhupada knew what Krishna wanted, which is that we practice and preach Krishna consciousness. And but he gave us instructions how to practice and preach Krishna consciousness according to the time and the circumstances and the candidates. That's us. This makes it easier for the candidate to reach the ultimate destination. The acharya's duty, therefore, is to find the means by which devotees may render devotional service according to references from Shastra. So, Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, Vakya, these are our three authorities, Sadhu, saintly person, Shastra, revealed scripture, and Guru, spiritual master. And but of those three, Shastra is the central point. Sadhu lives according to Shastra and Guru teaches according to Shastra. So although there is some flexibility to adjust details, but there is no flexibility to adjust the principles. The principles are fixed. And once some of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers came to meet him, and, you know, they were rigid, you know, by Prabhupada's standard, or they were rigid about certain matters, women associating with men in temples, and and different things. And, you know, Srila Prabhupada commented that, you know, for all their strictness, they could not do anything to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And, you know, Srila Prabhupada made allowances for the time, the circumstances, and the candidates. And he engaged the boys and girls. He would call us boys and girls because of his age. We could say young men and women. He would engage the boys and girls together, preaching. And he said it's been very successful. And he said the ladies are no less than the men when it comes to preaching. So Shruti Kirti Prabhu, who was Srila Prabhupada's servant, asked him, well, you know, we have faith in you. We know that you wouldn't compromise on any of the basic principles, but you did make adjustments in terms of the details. So how do we know what is a principle and what is a detail? And Srila Prabhupada thought for a moment and said, that requires a little intelligence. And even today I see it, you know, on the internet, people are arguing, you know, what can we adjust and what can't we adjust? What are principles and what are details? But anyway, so here Srila Prabhupada is saying on the basis of Shastra, that means the basic principles are coming from Shastra. So the Acharya's duty, therefore, is to find the means by which devotees may render service according to references from Shastra. Rupa Goswami, for example, in order to help subsequent devotees, published such devotional books as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So the verse says that the Acharyas cross the ocean of nescience, but they leave behind the boat by which they crossed. So subsequent devotees can also cross. So that the method they leave is, of course, it is explained orally, but primarily it is explained in books, which is why books are so important, and that's what Srila Prabhupada is saying here. Rupa Goswami, for example, in order to help subsequent devotees, published such devotional books as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Thus, it is the duty of the Acharya to publish books that will help future candidates take up the method of devotional service and become eligible to return home back to Godhead. And Prabhupada did publish 80 books. In our Krishna consciousness movement, this same path is being prescribed and followed. So, that sentence, I mean, you know, reading Srila Prabhupada's books carefully is quite an experience because you see how much he packs into each sentence. So this method is being prescribed and followed. That refers both to the method of spiritual practice, the science of Bhakti Yoga given in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It also applies to the method of helping other devotees by leaving literature and distributing literature. So, but coming to our personal practices, thus the devotees have been advised to refrain from four sinful activities: illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling, and to chant 16 rounds a day. These are bona fide instructions. So I'll read it again for emphasis. Thus, the devotees have been advised to refrain from four sinful activities: illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling, and to chant 16 rounds a day. Now, some people say 16 rounds a day is not enough. And of course, it's good to chant more. On one morning walk on Juhu Beach, Lokanath Swami asked Srila Prabhupada, "Why have you prescribed 16 rounds?" And Srila Prabhupada said, "Not 16 rounds, minimum 16 rounds." And then he said, "But some devotees are fixing other minimums for themselves." And Srila Prabhupada said, "They can do. You can increase from that figure, but you can't decrease." And then there was some discussion about imitating Haridas Thakur. I think he asked, "How do you know if you're imitating Haridas Thakur?" And Srila Prabhupada said, "Imitation is not bad. You know, if you're chanting more rounds, that's not bad, that's good." And then Brahmananda Prabhu said, "Well, but what if there's service? And a devotee refuses because he's chanting his extra rounds." And Prabhupada said, "That is very bad. Don't disturb me, I'm busy imitating Haridas Thakur. That is very bad." So, but here the point is, I'll read the next sentence. After chant 16 rounds a day, these are bona fide instructions. The Prabhupada is saying very clearly, these are bona fide instructions. Even though he didn't say chant 64 rounds, but these are bona fide instructions. Because in the Western countries, constant chanting is not possible, one should not artificially imitate Haridas Thakur, but should follow this method. And then he says, this is the crucial point, Krishna will accept a devotee who follows the regulative, who strictly follows the regulative principles and the method prescribed in the various books and literatures published by the authorities. In other words, Krishna will accept this prescription of the four regulative principles and 16 rounds. And Srila Prabhupada said on various occasions, you know, if you just chant 16 rounds and follow the four regulative principles and do your best to spread Krishna consciousness, then at the end of this life, you'll go back home, back to Godhead. Of course, there's a lot involved in that, such as associating with devotees. It's very hard to maintain chanting 16 rounds and following the regulative principles without the association of devotees. Like one devotee left the association and came back, and Srila Prabhupada said, "You're not chanting your 16 rounds." And the disciple said, "How did you know?" And Prabhupada said, because you're not associating with devotees. So the Acharya gives the suitable method for crossing the ocean of nescience by accepting the boat of the Lord's lotus feet. And if this method is strictly followed, the followers will ultimately reach the destination by the grace of the Lord. So yeah, the all-merciful Acharyas and the all-merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead, they work together. This method is called Acharya Sampradaya. It is therefore said, Sampradaya Vinihaye Mantraste Nishphalamata Padma Purana. The translation, which is not given in the purport, is that if you don't receive the mantra through disciplic succession, your chanting of the mantra will not be fruitful. The Acharya Sampradaya is strictly bona fide. So, Prabhupada is coming and the Acharya Sampradaya, that's bona fide. And the instructions he gave are bona fide. Therefore, one must accept the Acharya Sampradaya. Otherwise, one's endeavor will be futile. Srila Narottam Das Thakur therefore sings, Tandera Charana Sevi Bhakta Sane Vas Janame Janame Hai A Abhilas. Does anyone know the translation? Yes?
Worshipping their lotus feet and associating with the devotees, this is my desire, life after life.
Yes. So Tandera, you would need to know the whole poem or song, but it refers to the followers of the six Goswamis, that I want to serve the lotus feet of the followers of the six Goswamis and live in the association of devotees, life after life. That is my desire. One must worship the lotus feet of the Acharya. This is Srila Prabhupada's conclusion, or paraphrase. Conclusion. One must worship the lotus feet of the Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, and live within the society of devotees. Then one's endeavor to cross over nescience will surely be successful. So there are, there's one famous line in the Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna says, Kaunteya Prajit. Patijanihi name bhakta pranashyati, which means? Yes. Lord Krishna is telling Arjuna, declare it boldly that my devotee will never perish. So, commentators have raised the question, why did Krishna tell Arjuna to make the declaration? Why didn't he make the declaration himself? And the answer is that although Krishna is very truthful, in fact, I read the 64 qualities of Krishna, they're beautiful. It's from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar of Devotion. So Krishna is truthful. But he may, out of affection for his devotees, break his own word for the sake of his devotee. And one example took place during the Battle of Kurukshetra, when Duryodhana chided Bhishma Dev that you are partial to the Pandavas, and therefore you're not fighting to your full capacity. And this was an insult to Grandfather Bhishma. Then Bhishma Dev took a vow that tomorrow I will fight so heroically that either Krishna's friend Arjuna will die or Krishna will be forced to break his promise not to take part in the fighting. And Bhishma Dev fought so valiantly that actually Arjuna was in trouble. And to protect the word of Bhishma Dev and also to protect his devotee Arjuna, Krishna picked up a broken chariot wheel as a weapon and was rushing towards Bhishma Dev. So the idea is that for the sake of his devotee, Krishna may break his own promise. Like he promised he wouldn't take up weapons, but he broke it for the sake of Arjuna. So when Krishna says, Kautya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati, you declare it, the purport is that yes, Krishna is truthful, but sometimes for the sake of his devotee, to uphold his devotee's word, he will break his own word. So if Arjuna makes that declaration, then Krishna is sure to uphold Arjuna's word. And so this is very good for us, because Srila Prabhupada has made the declaration, you chant 16 rounds, you follow the four regulative principles, you give this life to Krishna, you do your best to spread Krishna consciousness, and you will go back home, back to Godhead. And because Srila Prabhupada has given us that promise, and because of Krishna's affection for his devotee, we're confident that Krishna will support Srila Prabhupada's promise, and we will go back home, back to Godhead, by their grace. Hare Krishna.
You might have been on some of the discussions that he had with Srila Prabhupada, so I'm just curious, even at this time in China, there's a debate amongst some of the leaders whether the devotees can use soy sauce and mushrooms in their cooking and in their offerings to Krishna. And I've heard varieties of arguments on both sides. And so I would like to know, first of all, when it comes to this issue, can you tell us what would be the principle and what is the detail that's trying to be adjusted?
Well, the principle is to spread Krishna consciousness. I heard that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur told his disciples who were going to England to preach, when some British officers came to Mayapur, he said they could serve them meat. So, I would say soy sauce and mushrooms are a milder adaptation. I mean, I don't have much direct experience related to China, but I did preach in Ceylon, now Sri Lanka. And Srila Prabhupada said they could have a deity of Buddha in the temple. So Prabhupada really had a very magnanimous heart. He wanted somehow or other, yena tena prakarena, somehow or other engage people in Krishna consciousness. Personally, I, for my health, I follow Ayurveda, and soya and mushrooms are not recommended. But you know, if that's the way you can like attract people, and it would be hard to attract them without, then I would say it's all right. It's a detail that can be adjusted.
Thank you very much.
Yes, Akuranath Prabhu, and that, or you two decide.
Oh, you already have one.
And mine might be a little off topic, but I'm really interested in why we fast on Janmashtami and what the how it helps us and what the significance of it is.
Well, I think the basic idea of fasting is to perform some austerity for the deity or the personality that one is worshiping that day. And it also, it decreases the time we spend eating, and it frees us for chanting and hearing and serving. That's what Prabhupada said about Ekadasi, you know, the fast to reduce the demands on the body and stay up all night chanting and hearing.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for your wonderful discourse, Maharaj. My question is about, since it's very important that we share the holy name with as many people as we can, in your talk you said, unless the name comes down from disciplic succession, it will not be successful, which made me think then, that seems to contradict how important it is to engage others in chanting Hare Krishna, for example, if they can't be successful, if they don't go all the way with it and they don't take initiation in the disciplic succession, what will the success be?
Excuse me. Srila Prabhupada was saying that the holy name should be received through the disciplic succession. So, like someone asked Srila Prabhupada, like in his talk on chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, which he recorded early in the movement, he said that the chanting should be heard from the lips of a pure devotee. So someone asked Srila Prabhupada, like, what about the people who hear the holy name from us? And Prabhupada said, well, you heard it from me and they're hearing it from you, so it's the same as they're hearing it from me. Yeah.
Okay, how do we know that somebody is an acharya? Because this verse can be misappropriated by somebody. They might say that I am an acharya and whatever path I am showing is a bona fide path because Krishna will approve it.
It reminds me of a conversation that Srila Prabhupada had in Bombay. This is also very interesting. He was speaking on the nectar of devotion. It was in an apartment. And basically his disciples, he was speaking on the nectar of devotion. But if someone, Hare Krishna, if someone would, from outside, would happen to come in, he would change the level to the Bhagavad Gita. So a Hindu leader came in, and, you know, he said, you know, Swamiji, India is a land of sadhus and mahatmas. So how is it that in a land of sadhus and mahatmas, we have so many problems? And Srila Prabhupada replied that the reason you have so many problems is you don't know who is a sadhu or mahatma. And then in the course of that conversation, one lady quoted someone saying that he was saying of himself that he was a mahatma. And Prabhupada said, because like you were saying, anyone can say I'm the acharya. So Prabhupada said, well, they may say they're mahatma. Anyone can say I'm a mahatma. But you have to know what is a mahatma. And then he quoted, you know, mahatmanas tumam partha. And sa mahatma sudurlabha. So, yes, anyone can say I'm mahatma, anyone can say I'm acharya. But you have to know from shastra, shastra is the central point, you have to know what are the symptoms of an acharya, what are the qualifications of an acharya. How appropriate that on those words, Vaisheshika Prabhu walked in. Any other questions or comments? I think we're all ready to hear from you, Maharaj.
I was just a little confused by the verse, but I think you explained it well. But it said that the acharyas, they leave the means of the method for going back to Godhead on earth behind, and then they say Krishna accepts the same method. Doesn't it say that? Could you back up to the actual verse? I remember when I was hearing that, I was thinking, what exactly this same method? And then you explained how the acharya and Krishna cooperate. Guru Krishna Prasadipai. But could you show the actual verse translation, please, for me? You accept this method to help them. You're very merciful. Okay, so you explain that, how the agent can make a deal with the customer, yeah, and the business accepts.
Yeah. The method to cross is to get in the boat of the lotus feet of Krishna. Which is the method of bhakti yoga. And they leave the boat for others to cross means they leave that method, especially in the form of literature, giving directions on how to practice bhakti yoga.
And then Krishna accepts?
He accepts that method out of mercy for the devotees who are practicing it, and out of his you could say obligation to the Acharya, this sense of obligation to the Acharya. I will read a line from the purport for your pleasure. The Acharya's duty, therefore, is to find the means by which devotees may render service according to references from Shastra. Rupa Goswami, for example, in order to help subsequent devotees, published such devotional books as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Thus, it is the duty of the Acharya to publish books that will help future candidates to take up the method of service and become eligible to return home back to Godhead by the mercy of the Lord. Now, it just came to mind because sometimes we need to balance what we say. And so one disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, between reading your books and hearing from you directly, which is better? And Srila Prabhupada said, well, hearing from me is better because the books can't pull you by the ear. The books can't... it's possible, although it's very unlikely in good association of devotees, sadhu sangha, but it is possible that one could read the books and come to a contrary conclusion if one is not like open-hearted. Like Prabhupada said in an early lecture of his that I heard in Boston, that Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple, but difficult for the crooked. So if you're crooked, it's not simple. But if you're simple, it's easy. Just on this point of being simple, so I was based in Juhu, Bombay for many years, and the situation there was very complicated because the owner of the property called Nair Wadi, which later became known as Hare Krishna Land, was very crooked. And he was trying to cheat Srila Prabhupada. And so at one stage, Srila Prabhupada had been away for a while, and then when he came back, Tamal Krishna Goswami told Prabhupada how Mr. Nair had bluffed me. And I'm pretty sure, I can't say 100%, I'm pretty sure Tamal Krishna Goswami was expecting Prabhupada to chastise me. And I had such a wonderful relationship with Tamal Krishna Goswami. Very early when we came to India, there was a huge color spread in the Illustrated Weekly of India, which was like Life Magazine was when Life Magazine was popular. So they had many pictures, and there was a picture of me with my hand in my bead bag, looking like this. And Tamal Krishna said to Srila Prabhupada, look at that picture of Giriraj. They say he's meditating. Do you think he was meditating or do you think he was sleeping? So he said, you know, that Nair had bluffed me. And Prabhupada said, he just said, well, what can be done? Giriraj is simple. So that was like lingering in my mind as a fault, that I was simple. And then maybe 2 years later, on a morning walk on Juhu Beach, we were reading from Krishna book. Often Srila Prabhupada would have these like arguments and debates with Dr. Patel, but sometimes he would say, okay, no more arguing. We'll just read from Krishna book. So in this reading, and it's quite appropriate to the appearance of Lord Krishna. So the Krishna book said that Vasudev had warned Nanda Maharaj to be careful for Krishna and Balaram. And then later, when there were all these difficulties of demons coming to Vrindavan, Nanda Maharaj considered that Vasudev was a great foreseer, you know, that he could see into the future that this would happen. But in a way it was sort of obvious. But so the Krishna book says that because Nanda Maharaj was a simple agriculturalist, he thought that Vasudev was a great foreseer. So I saw this word simple being applied to a pure devotee. And for the 2 years I was carrying that conception that it was a fault. You know, what can be done, Giriraj, is simple. So I brought this up to Srila Prabhupada that being simple is not a fault. And Srila Prabhupada said that for an agriculturalist like Nanda Maharaj, it's not a fault. Or for a Brahmin, it's not a fault. But for a Kshatriya like Vasudev, who has to be aware of political and military dealings, it is a fault. And then he said that, but in one sense it doesn't matter, because for Nanda Maharaj the central point was Krishna, and for Vasudev the central point was Krishna. So our mentality should be whatever we are, you know, the central point should be Krishna. So, you know, if you're simple and you're properly placed and you're being simple for Krishna, it's okay. And if you're complicated and, you know, worldly wise and savvy and acute and the central point is Krishna, that's also wonderful. Both are equally good for Krishna. So I think I'll tell one last story about Tamal Krishna Goswami and me and Srila Prabhupada. which was very, I found very instructive. And well, you'll get the purport when I tell the story. So this was in Srila Prabhupada's last months. He was in Juhu, but he was very ill. And basically, he wasn't coming down, you know, to give class, and devotees were not allowed up. So he was there with his personal staff. And one day I came up to meet Tamal Krishna Goswami, who was Srila Prabhupada's personal secretary. And when I got there, and there were, so Srila Prabhupada was in his room, darshan room, then there was like a set of doors that were closed. Then there was a sort of anteroom, and those set of doors were closed. And then there was the room where the secretary would sit. So when I came up, you know, Tamal Krishna Goswami greeted me very warmly, and we walked like to just like the edge of the court as far away as we could be, so as not to disturb Srila Prabhupada. So he said, you know, he had some checks. And he said, I want you to deposit these in the bank. So I said, you know, I'm the temple president. Anyone can deposit checks in the bank. So, you know, I should rather use my time to do things that others can't do and let someone else deposit the checks. So we suddenly heard the bell ring. And so Tamal Krishna Goswami and I, you know, sort of ran around and came into Srila Prabhupada's room. And it was a very, I mean, the more I think of the way Srila Prabhupada dealt with us, it was like so subtle and so expert. You know, you see it in the books, even in his spoken words, you know, he's like so expert and subtle. So, you know, he was saying, you know, how is your preaching? Because I always like to preach. I preferred to preach rather than manage. And then he was saying, I don't remember all the details, unfortunately, but he eventually said, if the spiritual master sends you to the bank and you refuse, then where is the surrender? So first I thought, did Prabhupada hear us? And then I thought, it's not possible. There were so many, we were speaking quietly, we were almost outside the quarters, and there were so many closed doors in between. Although I mentioned this to our godbrother Tejas Prabhu, and he said it is possible he could have heard it, because he thought that Srila Prabhupada's senses were very acute. But I didn't see that at the time. But I thought, you know, Krishna was inspiring Srila Prabhupada to say what I needed to hear. And from that I got that I shouldn't see Tamal Krishna Goswami. And I think we can sort of extrapolate from this principle just as a godbrother. But, you know, as the representative of the spiritual master. And then, like, I had the thought or realization that if I did see Tamal Krishna Goswami in that way, then I wouldn't find it to be a botheration. like when Prabhupada was speaking to me, you know, how's your preaching, and then he said, you have so many things to do, so much botheration, but they have to be done. So then at the end, reflecting on the whole conversation, I consider that, yes, if I saw him as like Prabhupada's representative, then I wouldn't see it as a botheration. You know, I would see it as an opportunity to serve Srila Prabhupada. So I think that's a general principle. Yeah, we shouldn't see each other in mundane ways, you know. Yeah. Yeah, I had a... Anyway, that would be a digression. But, yeah. So, servant of the servant. Gopi Bhartu put a Kamalayor Dasa Dasa on it. Servant of the servant of the servant. And once a disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, you know, there's so much conflict in the temple, you know, what can we do about all the conflict? And Srila Prabhupada said that if each devotee is thinking, I'm the servant of the servant of the servant, then there won't be any conflict.